You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is episode 3. Well, hey guys, and welcome to This Week of Feathers. I'm so happy that you've joined me here. I want to start off today's episode thanking a few people. Tammy Walker, Jamie Trung, Jennifer Connell, and Melanie Dorsey. Thank you guys so much for sharing the episode over on Facebook. You can find my Facebook page over on facebook.com/AmyJBennettPage. So let's talk about this week. This week, I'm so excited to have Kaylee Hodges. Kaylee is a mom of 5 kids. She has 3 girls and 2 boys adopted from Uganda. Her and her husband founded the Christmas Light Project. And guys, don't kill me for talking about Christmas already. I know it's only the first week of October, but I wanted to start talking about this early because this is an invitation to start thinking about how to bring the Christmas Light Project to your home and to your community during the Christmas season. So you guys need time to plan. So we're jumping in and talking all about it and what Kaylee and her family did. And really at the heart of it, it's the message of hospitality. And we can talk about that anytime. So let's go ahead and jump into my conversation with Kaylee. Well, hey, Kaylee, and welcome to Feathers today.
Hi, Amy. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here, too. How about we start off with you telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yes, I am Kaylee Hodges. I am a mom to 5 kids under 7, which is crazy. My sons are adopted from Uganda. And we are a homeschooling family, and I have a little bit of, I have a little bit of a preacher's heart. So I love to, I like that I have a little congregation following me around.
Okay. So I actually have a friend who is flying back from Uganda today, from being with her little girl. Yes. She's adopting.
That's so
exciting. And they were really hoping to bring her home, this time, but it just didn't work out.
Yes. We had to go to Uganda twice, and the second time we went, we ended up staying 3 months.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I think she's,
yeah,
I have to remember, I think it's been like 2 or 3 weeks now that she's been there.
I mean, it's a hard long road. Worth it, but a hard long road.
Yes. So if you could, I'm going to make her listen to this. So if you could give her one piece of advice, what would you give her?
Oh, just perseverance, sister. Hang in there. Keep fighting.
Yes. Oh my goodness. She's been so brave, and I know it's been such a hard road, but perseverance is a good word for her.
It is. It's a hard one in the middle of it, but it is good.
Yes. Okay. So, I would love to talk about your story today. You have an exciting story around a project actually that your family, started, the Christmas Light Project. And I would love for you to go back and talk about kind of how that started and how that's looking these days and maybe even how people can get involved with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So a couple of years ago, it was actually the year we came home from Uganda, I found myself in the position of having 5 kids, 5 and under. And it was an intense season. But we were kind of holed up in our house all the time. And I was just feeling this call that we needed to be serving. And, you know, and sometimes in those seasons, it's just seasons of rest. But for me, that's just not where the Lord was leading my heart. I was feeling like we were needing to share the gospel. That is my heartbeat. And I couldn't necessarily do that. I didn't know what to do. But right around Christmas time, I thought, I have an idea. What if we just invite our neighbors over for dinner every week and light an Advent candle? Like, that's not hard. That's not tricky. There's lots of Advent resources. And we'll just spread a little light around here. And we did. And it was so, so good and so sweet. And we had some friends come each time. And, anyways,
let me ask a question. Are these people that like you already had a connection with in your neighborhood, or these are new neighbors, or who are these people that you're
a little bit of both? A little bit of both. You know, some of our neighbors we know really well, and they're our friends. My brother and sister-in-law live right across the street, so there's that.
Okay, that's
and some of them, like, people I've never even met before. And not, I will say, not a lot of people showed up that I didn't really know, because they were probably like, who's this weird girl?
Yeah.
out delivering invitations. But for me, it was more the obedience of the act of like, how much do I really love my neighbors? Like, am I really willing to invite them into my house and give them the gospel? Do I love them that much?
Yes. We were just talking about this with our small group.
It was a big question, and it was harder to answer than I thought it would be, considering that I consider myself a pretty faithful person.
Right. But
yeah, that was really the idea, is do we love our actual neighbors enough to invite them into our homes and give them the gospel? I think it's easy to want to go out and do ministry and do missions and sort of forget that God's sovereignty didn't end when we moved into our houses. Like, we're where we are for a reason. And God wants to work in that and through that with just basic things, you know, walking through your neighborhood and knowing people and them knowing what you believe and where you stand is a really super powerful thing.
Okay. So tell me how the actual, I guess, dinners went and what that kind of looked like.
So and some of them were kind of awkward, but for the most part, they were just really small. And last year, we never had the same group of people twice. So, you know, I think people got kind of awkward about it, but that's okay. It's not my job to make things totally not awkward, but we would have people come over. We would make a main dish, say, hey, if you want to bring a side dish, that's great. If you don't, that's okay too. We would eat a meal around a table, talk. And at the end of the night, my husband would stand up and talk a little bit about the Advent candle. We would light it and we would all go home.
Okay. So you're doing some intentional conversations there at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of right towards the end. And we would just say, okay, so this is an Advent dinner and we really want to celebrate Christmas with you guys. And so, you know, there's four Advent candles and they're hope, peace, love, and joy. And so we would just go through that each week. And it was just a little chance to share the word of God and share the spirit of Christmas and the hope of Jesus without being super preachy or having to memorize the Romans Road again, which I forgot as soon as I learned it the first time.
Yeah.
So it was just a way for us to share Jesus and that hope in a really relational way.
Okay, so I'm just curious, like, how do people respond, and is that something that,
you know,
people respond to it, or how does that work out?
Yeah, you know, I think Christmas is a special time,
right.
Which is why we chose to do it at Christmas anyways, because people are lonely, or they're excited, and either way, puts people in a good place to respond to the gospel. And so, you know, we haven't had any like gigantic conversions and my whole town's having a revival, although I'm not done praying for that yet. But people are surprisingly open and moved. I think even less by you lighting a candle and reading the Bible to them as just the idea of hospitality, of you making space for them and choosing to love on them in this time that's like crazy busy for everybody.
Right. I think it's so hard even to have people that you know really well into your home, but to invite people that you don't know hardly at all.
Yeah.
Intentional with that. That's something totally different. And I have to be honest, I don't know that I've ever even done that. That's such.
Well, and here's the deal. I mean, a lot of it is just the idea of invitation, because you hand out a lot of invitations that people look at, you know, kind of side-eyed and toss in their trash. But the obedience is in the invitation. We're not asked to make disciples. I mean, we are asked to make disciples. We're not asked to convert people. We're just asked to invite people. We have to invite them to partake of the gospel. Whether they partake or not, that's up to them and the Holy Spirit in them. So, but I've found that so much of the obedience is in the invitation.
That's so good. Obedience in the invitation. I feel like that's tweetable.
It's a good thing. And, like I said, we've built some relationships in our neighborhood that have come from that have been really sweet.
Okay. So how many Christmas seasons have you done this?
We've done this two seasons now.
Okay.
And this year will be our third, and we've sort of expanded this year, and not like nothing's actually happened yet because it's not December, but we did go ahead and make a website and a community, and we're getting together a resource so that people can, people that are ready. You know, I feel like we're all sort of, maybe this is just my Christian circles, we're all sitting here on the verge of something. We're hopeful, and I see people digging into the Word of God, and it's, I find that so, so encouraging. And with that much biblical input, it doesn't take long before you start wanting to, like, shout it from the rooftops, right?
Yes. You want an outlet.
And yes, yes, exactly. Like it's hard to keep in that much hope and that much joy and that much peace. And so we're wanting to just provide like a practical outlet. This is how you can share the gospel. You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up on, like I said, Romans Road, or I can't even remember all the different ways we learned
ABCs.
To like. Yes, ABCs. Yes, ABCs. Yep. You know, do like street evangelism.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like that can produce some spectacular results. But I have discovered that evangelism doesn't really, for me, it doesn't have to be that hard. And it doesn't have to be that awkward.
Right.
Most of the time, discipleship happens in relationship.
Yeah.
So if I can just tell people who I am and what Jesus is doing in my life, they're going to recognize that in their own life. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to go away untouched. From that.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's, yeah, that's where the Christmas project stems from, is like, just touch people's lives with the gospel. You don't have to force anything. You don't have to make it crazy. Just have a Christmas meal.
Okay. So tell me about this resource. Is that something that like, so say I decide, I think this is a really great idea. I like the four invitations, you know, the four lights.
Yes.
So is the resource going to help me know what to say on those nights, or is this something to hand to the people like after?
No. Yeah, no, it's for the host and the hostess or the small group or the church, or even if you could talk your whole community into doing it, which is what we're trying to get done in my town. And it is going to be some basic hospitality tips, some prayers to ready your heart, some teeny tiny little scripture readings that go with each candle, maybe a recipe or two is what we're hoping for, for those feeling kind of ambitious. Although I will say, I am not a great cook, and we have ordered pizza before, and that has worked out just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to anything when I go to somebody's house. I'm like, as long as I don't have to cook it, I don't care what
Yes, exactly. So we just want to provide something that will sort of ease people into it. I totally understand. I think we would all be crazy not to acknowledge that Christmas or December in general is nuts for most of us.
Right.
It's absolutely crazy. And the thought of adding one more thing, especially when that thing is inviting people into your house,
right,
is a little overwhelming. So it's no small thing that the Christmas Light Project is asking of people. We're asking you to take time. We're asking you to take energy. We're asking you to do something like horribly awkward and embarrassing.
I know, but it's that is what to me, and I'm that whole statement kind of just gets me so excited, because I've been just doing study and talking about how Christ's life, you know, was just such a sacrifice, and Scripture tells us to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, and it is going to cost us time, and it's going to cost us money, and it's going to cost us pride. And so this, to me, when you're saying those things, and yes, like that's exactly what it's supposed to do for us, right?
Exactly. Like I think if people will just give it a chance, like one chance, they'll see that they don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to attending 52 Christmas parties and showing up here and showing up there and visiting this and visiting that. Like I want to stay home and I want to shine some light right where I am.
There's joy on the other side of that. There's joy on the other side of that cost. Like you get a payoff, right?
There is.
The joy is in the relationship, like exactly what you were talking about.
Well, and I think particularly, and maybe this is just my experience, but I grew up in church, and somewhere along the way, this whole idea of sharing the gospel and evangelism and making disciples sort of became a specialized thing. Like there were the people who were good at it, and then there was me. and people right. like me.
The Tuesday night people, right?
Yes. Like, I just wasn't good at it, and I didn't know how to do it, and it seemed hard, and I thought, you know what? That's why God made Billy Graham, so I don't have to.
That's great.
Right? But it's not true. It's not true. And I think if we learn very quietly and very gently how to share our faith in a relational way, we will be mind blown by what God does with that, even in our own hearts. Even if we never see what we think is fruit from that, I think we will end up just exploding with the crazy joy from seeing what it can do in your own life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm super excited about this idea. I love that it's intentional with your neighbors right around you. I just love that it gives you like because Christmas is like the perfect time to do something like this, because it kind of gives you a reason to have people over. It's not just random, which I have no problem with random things, but
love that it kind of gives you an excuse. Sometimes, yeah, you kind of got to ease into it. And when there's a reason, often people will show up too. They're yes. like, why are we doing this? Oh, because it's Christmas and we should be loving our neighbors at Christmas.
Yes. Awesome. So how can people, if they want to maybe connect with you or get this resource, where's that going to be available?
Okay. We will be on Instagram at the Christmas Light Project, and we have a website that you can sign up for our newsletter, thechristmaslightproject.com. And what we're going to do newsletter-wise is not even going to be a weekly thing. Once a month, we're going to send out some encouragement and some hope for you. And then as we get closer to Thanksgiving, then we will provide that resource, and that will just drop right into your inbox.
That's awesome. Okay, so Kate, I'm just curious. This has been started for you, an Advent thing. So what does that look like for you for the rest of the year? Have you gotten
Oh, yeah. I have gotten more courageous. You know, what it has turned into is really almost a posture of worship in hospitality. And I want by no means anyone listening this to confuse hospitality with hosting by any stretch of the imagination. Right. I live in a 1,500 square foot with six other human beings, five of them are under the age of seven.
Oh, Lord.
I have never made a meal that I have not burned. My table, I painted it white because my house is super dark. It's a rent house and there's nothing I can do about it being dark. But I painted my table white so it would reflect some light. And so I have this like chipped up, filthy looking table. But what God has shown me through all of that is that it just doesn't matter. People just want a space. And that's what hospitality really is just making a space for other people. And so we have tried to at least two times a month. My goal was every week, and I failed horribly at that. So don't feel bad about failing at your goals. And at least two times a month, we try to just invite somebody in our community over for dinner, just open the doors. And it turns out it doesn't take much more than that.
That's so good. That's good. I love that. So I think I love that it's good that you have goals and you're being super intentional about it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I failed pretty bad at those goals this last year, but just the two, you know, twice a month is kind of a big deal for our family because it takes a lot of maneuvering. But what the fruit we've seen from that has been incredible.
Okay.
Incredible.
Awesome. That's awesome. We have a couple that is from South Africa. And then there were missionaries in Paraguay, and they were saying, and honestly, I can't remember if it was South Africa or Paraguay, that it was so different there that it was almost every single meal that was being
yes.
shared with another family. Like, that was just a different way of life. You always did things together.
Yes.
So I think about that, and I'm like, gosh, like, that's not the way, that's not
yeah.
the way we do life. Type thing. I mean, once a week we eat with our in-laws and once a week with my family, and we're good to do that. So thinking about doing that daily, even twice a month, even once a month is challenging. I think it's just a culture shift, right?
It is. It's absolutely a culture shift. And I think we have to be careful with our minds and with our hearts, because we sort of live in a society of experts. Like, people who are really good at this one thing, you know, like I mentioned with evangelism, there were the good at it and then there were the other people. And the reason this is actually called the Christmas Light Project is because 2 years ago when we were driving around to go look at Christmas lights, my husband and I got in a discussion about how things have changed. when we were little, everybody in the neighborhood threw up one strand of like twinkly colored lights and called it good. But somewhere along the way that shifted and a few people got really, 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 really great at putting up Christmas lights. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the streets where there's like all the things.
Yep.
Exactly. And then because they were so good at it and everybody else knew it was like kind of a lot of work to put up that one strand of lights that wasn't just real spectacular, people stopped putting up one strand of lights. And so all of a sudden, to go look at Christmas lights, it's you and 250 other cars jammed tailgate to tailgate driving down a residential neighborhood street. And that's the place that's lit up. And everybody else is sort of like, hey, they're doing great. We'll just let them go for it. And we started talking about what would it be like if everybody just put up their lights, just one strand of light. Let's let the people who are awesome at it be awesome at it. And let's cheer them on, but let's not let that stop us from doing what we can do.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because you feel like if you don't measure up, you're just not going to try at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's sort of kind of a picture of what happened with the gospel and with our ability to share the gospel. Is we saw these people who were really good at it, and we thought, oh, we'll just send that podcast to our friends so we don't have to do it ourselves.
Right.
But it makes for an incredible experience when everybody does their one little thing. Then all of a sudden you're driving through an entire neighborhood that's lit up, mm-hmm. an entire community that's lit up, an entire city that's lit up. And it makes a difference, because that's how light spreads. It can't be in these few select places. It can't be only in our churches. Mm-hmm. It can't be only in our small groups. It has to be one little light at each house spreading across communities and cities and states. Mm-hmm. That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what Jesus had in mind, right? It's the whole, I don't know what, multiplication, where every single person reaching out in some sort of way with their gifts and talents.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so that's what we want to inspire people to do. You know, it's just one little candle once a week, but that's the light of the world. And that's happening in real time with a tangible picture. And we just don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss that.
Right. And we don't have, and I think what we're just circling back to is, you know, we have experts even in hospitality because of the whole Pinterest world, right? So you think,
right,
well, I'm not an expert in hosting, as you would say, so I'm not doing that. But it can be very simple. And I love I think it's in Romans where Paul is saying, practice hospitality. And I know that means like, that should be a part of your daily, not daily, but part of your life is to do hospitality. But I always read that and it says practice hospitality. And it always makes me think I need to practice it. Like I need to start small. And as you get rolling, you do learn actually that it's not, you don't have to do anything grand or Pinteresty or anything.
Yes.
You can practice hospitality and just dip your toe in and see how that starts. I mean, I know we host our small group every week and it, you know, we just gather in our living room. Is I just have to vacuum. I just vacuum one room. I
don't yes, right.
I just make sure I just vacuum the one room. And sometimes, you know, it's as simple as just making a pot of coffee, and then it's just the conversation can happen from there. It does not have to be so complicated.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, I tried to quit coffee one time last year, and I realized almost my whole social life revolves around it. So I couldn't. I couldn't do that.
Don't do that.
No, it wasn't okay.
That's funny.
But yes, that's exactly the point. Is I think we all have a place and some space to do this, and we should take it, man. Seize the moment. Seize this chance.
Yes. Well, I'm totally inspired to do this. So thank you so much for sharing that, and I hope people check that out.
Well, and thank you so much for having me here. And go ahead and go check us out. And we promise we won't stalk you, but we would love to inspire you.
Awesome. So the ChristmasLightProject.com to check that out. And if people want to connect with you, where can they do that?
I'm mostly on Instagram, Kaylee Hodges, or I blog occasionally at KayleeHodges.com.
All right. Well, thanks again so much for being here today.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, as I think about this conversation with Kaylee, I feel challenged to look around my neighborhood and what would it look like to invite some people over and be intentional with the gospel this Christmas season. I hope you will go along with me over to their site and at least sign up for the newsletter so you can get the resource and see what it's all about. But I really think the bigger picture here is that I'm challenged toward hospitality. You know, I love having people over to my house. In my head, I'm having people over all the time. But in reality, guys, I'll just admit that we don't do that very often. And so this has challenged me once again to keep it simple. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It's just inviting people in. And it's really about the conversation. And I don't know about you, but I know I could use some more adult conversation. And I know there are others around us craving it in this social media driven world we live in. We need to sit eyeball to eyeball and really have conversations with others. So I hope this encourages you to do the same like it did me. Remember to hop over to Facebook and share this post or whatever social media tool you use the most. So guys, I think that's it for today, and we will see you next week on Feathers.